Hello, friends. Welcome to the Hillside Church Podcast. My name is Brad, and I serve Hillside Church as the lead pastor. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you in this way. God has so much in store for you and for your life, and one of the ways God works in our lives is through the study of his word, like the message you're about to hear. Our prayer for you is that as you share in this message, if it's me preaching or if it's someone else, is that God's word would minister to your heart and life in a most powerful way. Thanks again for being part of our church family. God bless you. This week, if you'd like to follow along in Scripture, in your Bibles, you could turn to John chapters 20 and 21. We're looking at some verses from the closing two chapters of the book of John. And this week, we're bringing our series called This Is My Story to a complete close. Last week, we heard the last of our testimonies in this series, that last week we brought that portion of it to a close, and then this week I just want to bring us some concluding thoughts around that. But before I do that, I just want to take a moment of recognition for everyone who was so generous to share their stories with us, and at times that were willing to be really vulnerable with us. There was moments and times as people shared their stories where they had to be very brave to share some of the things that they shared with us, that to be willing to get up and talk about some of life's most difficult moments in front of a room of people. It's not something that any of us do easily. And so I just want to take a moment and recognize and say thank you. And maybe even if you're up for it, give a big round of applause for Luke and for Ludovic, for John, for Adela, for Nina, for Pastor Matt, and for Pastor Lori. And so we want to say thank you to all of them. You can go ahead and clap for all of their willingness to share their stories and share themselves with us. I know that I was really blessed by the things that they had to say. And I pray that you were too. Last week, Pastor Lori talked about sort of, there was these common threads that wove their way through all of them. But one of the things that was so profound for me, as much as it was the common threads, it was the differences in all of the stories, but yet God's faithfulness in all of it. That we heard, you know, wildly different stories from wildly different experiences. But what we discovered in it was that we have the same God. And that as we journey through life and things look different for everyone and at different points and at different times, someone's story may sound nothing like my story. Or someone's story may have sounded a little bit too much like my story. But as we walked through all of these stories, what we discovered was that no matter the life that we've lived, we come back to the same God. And today what I want to do is I want to take a couple moments to look at a couple of maybe overlooked verses in the book of John. See, John tells these crazy, amazing, wonderful stories of who Jesus is and the things that Jesus did. But then there's a handful of moments in the book of John where if you've ever, maybe you've been really into a TV show or a movie, and you know when you're really into a TV show or a movie, when you watch that thing with the director's commentary on, that like you know and you've seen this so many times that you actually don't need to watch the movie, but instead you want to hear from the people who made the movie. Well, in John's letter, there's a couple moments where he gives us, like, his commentary, where he sort of stops telling us about Jesus, and he gives us some of his thoughts on what's going on and what's taking place. And today, I want to look at a couple of these verses where it's kind of John stepping out of the story of Jesus and just giving us his thoughts or his reasoning behind it. And the reason why I want to do that is because sometimes we can fall into a trap of thinking about things like the Bible in a way that the people who wrote the Bible weren't thinking about it. See, when the Apostle John wrote his book, the book of John, the Gospel of John, he wasn't writing this thinking, I'm writing the Bible. He wasn't writing that thinking, you know, I'll bet you 2,000 years from now, on the other side of the world, there's going to be this town called Airdrie. And there's going to be these people gathered together. And they're going to be reading my story, and they're going to want to know my thoughts. But what we read and what we understand is that when John was writing the gospel according to John, he was just sharing his story. He was just telling his story, the story of the difference that Jesus made in his life. Let me tell you the story of the difference that Jesus made in my life. And the reason why I want to come to these specific couple of verses is because in light of John just telling his story, as he gives us his thoughts on telling his story, it actually gives us some insight into how we're supposed to understand the telling of our story. What it meant for John to tell his story are some of the same things that it means for us to tell our own story. But what we see with John in telling his story, because even though we recognize that, hey, he didn't know he was writing the Bible, he didn't know. He wasn't writing his story thinking like, this is going to be good. People all over the world are going to be reflecting on this. This is going to be amazing. You know, he just wrote his story, and then the Holy Spirit used it. The Holy Spirit used the story that he told, the story of this is the difference Jesus made. The Holy Spirit used his story. And the same thing is true for you and for us, that we don't have to have any idea what God's going to do when we tell our story. Because it's God who's going to do something with it. That your story has so much potential to be so much more profound than you will ever understand, not because of how great of a storyteller you are, and maybe you have what we would say is an amazing testimony, or maybe you look at your testimony and say, it's not really that special, but the reality is that it's not up to us to do anything with our story. John's story is something we can look back on, and we can read, and we can reflect on because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the way that the Holy Spirit used his story. And so when we come to John chapter 20, we're going to look at the concluding verse of John chapter 20, the very last verse, verse 31. And in verse 30, John just kind of says, there was lots of things that Jesus did. There was lots of other things that Jesus did than what's in my book. But in verse 31, John tells us why he's telling us this story. Why is he telling us about who Jesus is and what Jesus did? Well, in John, in verse 31 of John 20, he says this, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have hope in his name. For so many of us, we can feel self-conscious about our story. That we can hesitate and not want to tell our story because what if my story isn't good enough? What if my story isn't dramatic enough? What if my story's not special enough? What if it's not the most wild and amazing? Like, testimony time should be reserved for people with crazy stories. And so we can sometimes feel inadequate, feel like my story just, it's not big enough. It's not special enough. It's not important enough. It's not going to be impactful enough that if I sit down with someone and share my story with them and I open my heart and I be vulnerable with them, they're going to look right back in my face and say, so? Like, we get self-conscious and worried about our stories. But what John tells us here is that the point of his story, the reason John was telling his story, wasn't so that by the time we read the last verse and we closed the book, that we would sit back and we would go, man, John is cool. My goodness, John is amazing. Isn't the, man, John, wow. What a great story about John. But what John tells us is that he's writing his story, not so that at the end of it we would be impressed and enthralled and amazed by the story of John. But he says, I'm telling you my story, but not so you can see me. I'm telling you my story because it's about Jesus. See, as we've gone through this series, This Is My Story, as much as we've been hearing from all of these different people, these stories haven't been Luke's story. They haven't been Adela's story. They haven't been Matt's story. They haven't been Nina's story. They haven't been Lori's story. These stories have been God's story. None of these stories were told because in the hopes that when it was over, you would somehow respond to the storyteller. But instead, these stories were told that just like John said, that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. John told the story of Jesus in John's life so that we could find Jesus in ours. And you need to tell your story because your story of Jesus in your life might just be the thing that someone else needs to find Jesus in theirs. See, our story isn't our story. Our story is his story. And the story that God has given each one of us is the most powerful thing that he's given us to reach the world around us. See, the second thing we're going to look at this morning, if you're following along, you can jump to the next chapter, John chapter 21, and we're going to look at the last two verses of John chapter 21. The second thing that we're going to read that John gives us, these sort of insights into why he's writing or his thoughts about what he's writing, in verse 24 of John chapter 21, John will write this. He will say, "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true." This is John saying, the one who you're reading is the one who wrote this, is the one who lived this. And because I lived this, I know that this story is true. I'm not telling you something someone else told me. I'm not sharing with you stories someone else did, which I don't really know if they're true. He's saying, I lived this. I know this. And that's what makes your story, makes the story that God is telling through you so impactful. Because you've lived it. Because you are living it. And because you're going to live it. And there's no one that can take that from you. See, sometimes we think that if I'm going to share Jesus with people, I need to know everything. I need to be smarter than I am. That if I'm going to share Jesus with people, I need to, like, have the answers to every question. I need to become an expert in biology. I need to become an expert in astrophysics. I need to become an expert in philosophy. I need to know all the answers to every question in every way so that I can share people with Jesus, because what if they ask me something I don't know the answer to? Then what? Well, what if they ask me a question that I don't know what to do with? I don't know what to do with that. So maybe I need to study some more. Maybe I need to learn some more. And it's not a bad thing to study more. And it's not a bad thing to learn more. Those are good things. But sometimes we can allow good things to become hindrances and say, hey, I'm not qualified to share Jesus with other people because I don't know all the answers. I don't know everything that there is to know. But I'm reminded of another story from the book of John. And by way of testimony, this is my favorite story in the Bible. In all of Scripture, my favorite story is found in the book of John, chapter 9. And it's the story where Jesus heals a man born blind. And it's this story which for me has so many layers, and we might even do a series on just this story later on, because I've avoided talking about it for a while because I used to talk about it all the time, but we've got so many new people, they need to hear my thoughts, or at least I need to share them with them. They may not need to hear it, but I need to share them. But there's this story where Jesus heals this guy who's been born blind. He's been blind his whole life. And we read in the story that Jesus spits in the mud and wipes it on the guy's eyes, and he's healed. But one of the things that makes this story so interesting is that as this man is healed, for some reason, this causes the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the time to just lose their minds. They can't accept it. They won't believe it. This can't possibly be true. And what we see takes place in this story is they have such a hard time believing the testimony of this man that they drag him into what's essentially court. And they question him in front of people, questioning him and trying to pin him down and trying to, like, are you really that guy? Are you just pretend? Like, they don't want to believe him, to the point where actually they let him go and they bring his parents in to question him. Is that really your son? Is that really, really, really? It's not, just admit it, it's not your son. And they are having such a hard time with this that they're dragging people in and out of court trying to understand what could have possibly taken place. But then in John chapter 9 and verse 24, we see that this man is brought back to court. They call him back a second time to question him more. And we see that they try to ask him some big, complicated questions. And what we read is this. We read in verse 24, it says, a second time they summon the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth. They said, we know this man is a sinner. And they ask him these big questions about Jesus. Well, who is this Jesus you say healed you? He's a sinner just like the rest of us, isn't he? Who is this Jesus? Asking him big questions that maybe he's not qualified to answer. Maybe they're too big of questions for him. They're asking him sort of these philosophical questions about who Jesus is and what Jesus is. And how do you understand this Jesus? Surely you have to admit he's a sinner. And this man who was born blind, as he's being questioned, he gives them a very simple answer that shows us why our testimony, why our stories are so valuable, why our lived experience with Jesus matters so much, and why it's more important than having all of the answers to these big questions. In verse 25, when he's faced with a question that is too big for him to answer, he doesn't run away scared and he doesn't get worried. He responds with such a simple answer. Verse 25, he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I don't know all the answers to your questions. I'm not as smart as you. You can ask me these big philosophical questions. And if I had an answer, I'd give it to you. But look, here's what I do know. I used to not be able to see. Then I met Jesus. And now I can see. His lived experience may not have allowed him to know everything that there was to know about Jesus. But his experience with Jesus allowed him to know everything that he needed to know for who Jesus was. Our story is ours. your story is yours. The difference that Jesus has made in your life, no one can take that away from you. No one can say, Jesus didn't make that difference. No one can say, Jesus hasn't changed you the way that you say he has. No one can say, Jesus doesn't matter to you the way that you say he does. No one can take away your story from you. You know your story. And just like John said about his testimony, John said, I lived these things, so I know they're true. And for your story in your life, you look and you say, I lived these things, so I know they're true. Then just one last verse I want for us to look at today. Then I've got a challenge for us this summer. But the last verse I want us to look at is simply the last verse of the book of John. John chapter 21, verse 25. We'll read that John says this. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. And I want to close with this verse for you today, because I believe that this verse actually contains a profound promise for you and I. That in your life, this verse pertains or has a profound promise. Because listen, you may not know this, you may not know this. I don't know how much you know. But Jesus was 33 years old when his ministry ended, when he ascended back into heaven. He was only 33 years old. Now, there was a time in my life where 33 seemed really old. There was a time in my life when I looked forward and thought, man, 33 is old. People in their 30s are old. Now that I'm 43, 33 seems pretty young. You know, 33 is not as old. That's not old. You're still a child. But here's the reality. And we know that John didn't sit down and do the math. But here's the reality. Jesus was only 33 years old. All of the books in the world could contain everything he did. There's a lot of books in the world with a lot of words in them, and 33 years isn't that long. 33 years isn't that long. But I think obviously this verse isn't an objective statement of fact. But I think that there's actually a prophetic declaration for us contained in these verses. Because the work of Jesus, the work of God in the world, the work of God in his creation, in the lives of his children, didn't end at the end of the book of John. It didn't even end when Jesus ascended into heaven. It didn't end at the end of when the Bible was finished being written. But friends, Jesus is still at work today. God is still at work in our lives today. God is still telling stories in the lives of people today. God is still working in his creation today. And God is still giving his people stories that he will use to give other people hope today. And that's the promise that you have today. Because as you've heard these stories of the way that God was working in the lives of other people, maybe there was a voice inside of your head as you listened to these other people tell stories of God's goodness and faithfulness, and you heard these stories. Maybe there was a voice in your head that said, hey, how come God's not working like that in your life? That is, as other people shared stories of God meeting them in their hardest moments, in their most difficult moments, in moments where they needed the leading of the Lord, where they needed the safety of the Lord, where they needed God to come and speak to them. And we maybe were left with the thought of like, God, how come you're not doing that for me? God, how come you're not saving me? God, how come you're not speaking to me? Nina shared about God speaking to her in a dream. God, would you speak to me in a dream? Pastor Lori talked about God meeting her in the most difficult, painful moment of her life. You're saying, I'm living in the most difficult, painful moment of my life, and God, you're not here. That we can look at our stories, and maybe we think, I can't give testimony to God right now. Because all I could say is, if you ask me, God, what are you doing in my life right now? The only thing I could say is, God, I think you've forgotten me. God, I think you've left me on my own. But today I want to give us this verse. I want to give you this verse as a promise. The reason all the books in the world can't hold everything Jesus did is because Jesus is still at work. He is at work in our world today. And friends, brothers, and sisters, he is at work in your life today. And even if your story is being told in a way that doesn't make sense to you, that you look at your life and you say, I don't know how this could be a good story. I don't know how this story ends with hope. I don't know how this story ends with me being able to stand up and speak of the goodness of God in my life. This morning, we sang about the death of Jesus. And then we sang about the resurrection of Jesus. That as we look at our lives and we say, I don't know how this story turns out good. Don't worry. Your story isn't over. And if your story isn't over, don't worry. Because your story's not over. God is still at work in our lives. God is still in the business of telling stories. And God is still in the business of telling your story. But this is where I want to leave us with a challenge for this summer. I want to piggyback on something Pastor Lori talked about last week. Pastor Lori closed her time off last week by speaking about the importance of hearing our story, telling our story, and hearing other people's story. She said it's important. And what I want to do is I want to put that into a time and into a context for you. I want to challenge you over this summer to tell your story to someone who's never heard it before. And I want to challenge you to hear the story of someone you've never heard before. Our church has grown a lot over the last couple of months. Over the last year and a bit. And that means that there's lots of stories you have not heard. And that means there's lots of people who've never heard your story. And so I want to challenge you to share them with people. This is where things like our Summer Connects come in. Is theoretically, we're having a church picnic in an hour. Come to the park. Put your lawn chair next to someone you don't know. And lean over to them and say, hey, can I tell you my story? Now, that may seem weird, but they were at church today. They know why you're doing it. Oh, I sat next to the guy who listened to the pastor. Okay, fine, tell me your story. I guess I can't say no. But share your story. Later on this summer, we're doing what we call Companies Coming. And it's a chance for you to invite people to your house to share a meal. Or even better, it's a chance to invite you to someone else's house to share a meal. That you can say, I would love to have dinner with you, and I want you to cook it. And I want you to clean up after it. I want you to provide. But it's a chance to share a meal together, to share life together, to share stories with each other. And so even today, I want to invite you to look around the room and look for some people whose stories you don't know. and who don't know your story, and to begin to make a plan to connect with them. You may know nothing about them other than when you look across the room, you say, I have no idea who those people are. That's the perfect place to start. Now, maybe you're new with us and you look around and you say, I don't know any of these people. Well, great, you get your pick. You can pick anybody you want. But we want to be faithful to share our stories with other people. Because friends, your story is a gift that God has given you. And just like the Apostle John, you have no idea what God can do with your story. You have no idea the difference in someone else's life, the difference in a community's life, the difference in a city's life, the difference in a nation's life that God can use your story to make. You have no idea the difference your story can make. Your story is a gift God has given you. But it's not your story. It's His story being told through you. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that each one of us is a child you came to save. That each one of us is a life that you care more intimately about and you deeply know more than we know and care and love about ourselves. And God, I thank you that in each life here, you are telling the most amazing stories. That you are telling the most amazing story in each one of our lives. And so God, we pray against anything that would cause us to think our story doesn't matter. That would cause us to think, my story isn't that important. My story doesn't matter that much. No one wants to hear me. God, we pray that you would allow us to have the confidence and the boldness to be willing to say to someone, let me tell you my story. To be willing to say to someone, tell me your story. Because God, you use our stories to shape the world around us. And so God, I pray that you would allow us to be a people who share our stories, who share life, who share what the Lord has done. And that we would be brought together closer, united together, and that we would experience the goodness and the grace that you have for each one of us. Through us being faithful to share what you've done in our lives, to inspire hope, and to allow other people to see Jesus in their story. God, we thank you for the way that you love us. We thank you for the way that you shape us. And God, we thank you for the way that you work in us and through us. God, we thank you for your love. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Blessed Thanks again for being a part of this message from Hillside Church. We pray that God was able to speak to you through what was shared. We're so grateful to be able to share God's word with our church community and family, and that includes you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Hillside Airdrie. You can contact us through email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca, or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca and click on Contact Us from the main menu. Or you can find our pastoral team contact by clicking on Our Pastors from the Our Church drop-down menu. Our vision for everyone that shares in Hillside Church is that they would know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power in their lives. And we pray this message ministered to you. At Hillside Church, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.